In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's nothing that will make your day quite like sort of getting a phone call and realizing that you're going to be preaching a sermon the next day. Some of you may remember in some of our earlier sermons, I would liken them to a meal. So this one, Susan and I sometimes, when we arrive home late at night or we just get home and there's nothing much to eat, we don't have anything planned, we'll just scramble eggs. It's our sort of go-to dinner on short notice. And so today's sermon is going to be a scrambled eggs kind of a sermon. Yesterday, as I was sort of looking for some eggs to scramble in these scriptures, I love the gospel reading. It's such a rich text, but I just couldn't sort of seem to make anything wake up inside of me about it. And what I was drawn to was the reading from Romans, and don't speak out, but be honest. Do you find sometimes when these Roman-type readings happen, your eyes glaze over? It just sort of is words that just kind of wash over you and don't grab you? That is usually the case with me, I have to admit, but it wasn't yesterday. What caught my eye was a phrase, where is it? We glory in our tribulations, or we boast in our sufferings. Because that phrase came up in the book that we're reading in Adult Forum for our Lenten practice. This really is a scrambled egg kind of sermon. You'll just have to forgive me if I'm a little scrambled. So, backstory, I don't like Lent. Probably most of us don't really like it, but I have real problems with it. It's a rocky time of year for me, for sort of, it's the anniversary of my son's death. So I enter into Lent with some baggage. And I'm usually kind of got some issues with God in this, and so feeling like giving up coffee or chocolate or alcohol or television or a nap, whatever, I'm just not even close to in the mood for that. And then on top of that, I've spent a number of years in my sort of spiritual journey in sort of a type of Christianity that is very intense, very biblically based, but very subtly legal. And by that, I mean you sort of feel like you have to earn something from God. You sort of acknowledge that salvation comes through faith, but you always feel like you're not good enough and you need to try harder to be really in. And so Lent sort of lines up with that for me, and I just go into some sort of a weird spiral and get weird. Instead of it drawing me to God, it sort of becomes between me and God. And so a lot of the entries in the book that we're reading in Adult Forum are about suffering for God. Take up your cross and follow him. Deny yourself. We are crucified with Christ. Bring the body into submission. Give up chocolate. Give up coffee. Give up fun. Is sort of what it feels like. Because secretly, God really doesn't like you that much the way you are. And you'd better get your act together. That's where my mind goes with scriptures like the one that we read in Romans, where we glory or boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance and endurance produces character. So We've been sitting around in our adult forum class talking about Lent and talking about what we're giving up, and I've got nothing. I've just got nothing. And I feel rotten about it, to be honest. And I try to sort of be a good guy and do things right, but this one I can't get right. And anyway, one thing led to another, and the thought came to me, I just need to give up faking it with God. I need to be honest with God. I need to give up acting like something I'm not. So instead of me praying, what do you want me to give up, Lord, for Lent? I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to give anything up. I just don't. And I'm really sorry. But that's who I am. And so when I read this scripture this morning, or yesterday, for while we were yet sinners, he died for us. It hit me. It wasn't just some sort of nice-sounding theological principle, but it became real. Because I find, as I started to try to just simply not fake it with God and tell him what's really going on inside of me and not hide those things, sort of like the woman at the well, that was sort of the beginning of her connection with Christ. She had to kind of come clean about who she was. And it didn't scare God off. And I found that it hasn't scared God off when I tell him, I'm not willing to give up chocolate for you. I'm ashamed of that, but that's the truth. And of course I could give up chocolate for God, and would if it felt like he wanted me to give up chocolate, but that's part of this loop that I get on that gets weird. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is I started to trust God enough to let him see me. The hard parts about me, the bad parts about me, the parts about me that I willfully, continually do that I know do not please him. Most of this is all in my head. I don't go out and kick the dog or steal candy from children and things like that. But it's real and it's there. And it started an honest dialogue that has brought me back to something that I think I saw in the very beginning when I first became a Christian. And that is it simply God loves me already. And I do not have to earn it. I don't have to earn it. It's there. And I can trust him. And it strikes me that that's why maybe God says we are justified by faith. Not works, not obedience, not good deeds. It's just pure and simple faith. Because what faith is trust. So we do get forgiven 100% when we believe in Jesus. But we also get saved in a daily way when we start talking to Jesus out of that sort of trust that I can be real with him. I can be real with him. I don't have to be perfect for him. And all of a sudden, he starts responding in new ways and on a different level. And so this reading from Romans, instead of it my eyes glazing over, sort of stops me and takes my breath away. For God proves his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. That just hits home now. Because I don't have to do anything with it. It's just there. I was sort of rehearsing the sermon a little bit with Susan yesterday, and she said, one of the things that I try to get at is how to make these ideas real. And I just said, suppose one of her best friends saved your life, took you were walking down the street and she saw, you know, a car going out of control and she pushes you out of the way and got mowed over by it. She saves your life. How would you feel? How would the rest of your life be? How would that person be for you forever afterwards? You would be eternally grateful. There would be nothing that you couldn't do for that person's family or loved ones. You would want to honor and remember them. It would be this natural, spontaneous thing. And that's exactly what Jesus did. It's just that simple. We've got somebody that took a bullet for us. He stepped in front of the train for us. He threw himself on the hand grenade for us. He did it. Didn't do it expecting anything in return. He didn't do it while we were good people. He just did it because he loves us. That's it. That's the heart of the whole message. Everything else is an add-on. Everything. Just believe that. Trust it. Talk to him the way you would talk to that person and see where it goes. And I'm finding that all of a sudden I'm wanting to give something up for God. Instead of fearing it, instead of being wrapped around some axle, it just cleans my head out. Showing up here, I think, in communion is one of the main ways we can do it. I've noticed that when people sort of come up to me and say they remember my son, and anyone that has lost a loved one knows this, somebody approaches you and says, I remember this person. They did this for me. Or there was this funny incident. But just that they know and remember means more than I can possibly say. It is a real gift. So as you approach the communion rail, try thinking about that. You're remembering God's Son to God. You're approaching him and saying, I get this. I remember it. Thanks. I think it means quite a lot to God. And I think it's how our faith really just simply got started. It was a human being that did something out of love that saves you and me. It really is that simple and that powerful and that beautiful. It's sort of the heart of the whole thing. Amen.